Welcome to the Early Accountability Podcast hosted by Kimmy Walker. Kimmy has a track record of serving as a behavior change and improvement catalyst for individuals, groups, and organizations. Get ready to make the best version of yourself a priority. Now welcome Kimmy Walker.
Kimmy Walker here, and welcome to today's episode of the Early Accountability Podcast. Our guest today is Dr. Risha Moxley. She is a licensed counseling psychologist, a performance coach, and a mindset mentor to high achievers. She helps individuals remove the blockage that they need to succeed and reach their goals and desires. Dr. Risha Moxley, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Kimmy. I'm really excited to talk with you and your audience. I'm going to say our audience because I'm joining you today. Hey, y'all.
Talk a little bit first just about your path into becoming a psychologist and why you chose the work that you do today.
My path seems to be a bit meandering. I think I can remember saying that I wanted to be a psychologist before I even knew exactly what that was. I know in my family, we weren't prone to go seek mental health services. That wasn't something that was done or that I saw modeled. And so I'm not sure exactly why, but around 8 years old, I can remember saying I wanted to be a psychologist. That didn't necessarily play out in the academic track that I took initially. Initially, I was in business and I was in an MBA program for a few years before I completely reversed and changed tracks and then started pursuing my education in counseling. And so I started with a master's in counseling and worked as a licensed professional counselor for a few years before I went to pursue my doctoral education in counseling psychology. And so it was a bit meandering, and I'm not exactly sure why, but as I'm reflecting on it now, I would say it's really about answering a call. And so that seed was in my heart even before I knew what the tree was. You know what I mean? I didn't know what seed that was, but now we're looking at the fruit. Here we are. That's kind of the short version of a meandering path to this particular calling.
How would one know if they're a high achiever?
That's a really good question. I think one would know if they are a high achiever if they are rarely, if ever, satisfied with their current state. If you're someone who is constantly seeking new information, if you are in a position, whether it's school or whether it's at work, and you kind of have your eyes on the next goal, or you have your like end goal in mind and you're strategically working towards that goal. If you're in relationships with other people and you find yourself wanting more, wanting to go deeper, those are kind of some quick and dirty hallmarks of a high achiever.
So what are some reasons that a high achiever might need a performance coach or a mindset mentor?
Well, I found that high achievers are typically super hard on themselves because they're so future oriented, because they have so many goals in mind. There's rarely a point at which they stand to reflect on what they've actually accomplished. And so usually the mantra, the thing that they say to themselves is, gotta keep pushing, gotta keep pushing, gotta keep pushing. Meanwhile, they're not realizing how far they've come and what they've actually accomplished. So usually that is connected. High achieving and kind of a tendency to beat up on oneself, they have an emotional underpinning. So usually high achievers come to me because they've reached kind of this stalemate, whether it's in their careers, whether it's within a relationship, they reach this point where they keep pushing, but it's not working the same way. And they're not getting the same emotional joy out of it. And so they come to me to remove blocks. They don't necessarily know it's an emotional block, but they come to me because they either feel stagnant or they actually are experiencing some stagnancy in their careers or in relationships.
And you kind of already took my next question. I was going to say, what are some of the common difficulties or blocks that high performers are experiencing when they come to see you or speak with you? And what are some strategies for kind of pushing forward in the beginning stages when you realize you're not really where you want to be?
That's a good question. I've been working with high achievers now for over a decade. And one of the things that brings folks in is the experience of failure, whether it's a personal failure, whether it's an academic failure. High achievers, at least the ones that I've worked with, don't really know what to do when they set a goal and they have a bit of a setback. And so usually what brings them in the door is a setback. And that setback can be caused by or can cause extreme anxiety. It can cause some symptoms of depression. It could actually cause a crisis of faith. And so folks come in when they usually hit some kind of stalemate, again, whether it's in academia, whether it's in their profession, or whether it's interpersonally with a breakup or something like that. And they're like, yo, what just happened? Like, what just happened? It almost feels like a physical injury. And so they're coming in like, yo, I need some help. I need to figure out, just give me the tools, give me the ABC of what I need to do to fix this so I can move forward. And usually I'm like, you're talking ABC, but we need to do some 1-2-3s. And so we usually talk a lot about what it means to be mindful, what it means to be present, what it means to resist the urge to fast forward through all the emotions that come up with failure. And when we do that, the tangible thing that they can leave my office with is knowing that a perceived failure is actually an opportunity to really get to know oneself better so that during the next situation, you can actually push further than you would have been if you didn't fail.
When embarking on like a new journey, a new avenue, whether it's personally or professionally, what are some ways that people can push past fear? Just fear of, like you said, failing, fear of missing out on other things, fear of just not being prepared enough for the next step. Mm-hmm. What are some tips that you offer people to try to move or work through fears that may arise?
When folks are able to identify fear, what we do, what I lead them through is really getting to know the fear better. So fear is not necessarily something that we have to push through really quickly. If we examine whatever comes up as you explore what you're afraid of, it usually gives us some insight. And so really, I would say it's about exploring the fear and the thing that causes an impediment so that we can break it down. And that then becomes the fuel. And so the fuel to push you forward. So a lot of times people try to avoid fear. Or they're like, okay, how do I get over it? And what I'm saying is let's crack this thing open, because I can almost guarantee you that the very thing that you are afraid of, when it's cracked open, we'll find out that that is exactly what you need to resolve or what you need to really stare in the face of in order to move to the next level.
What would you say in regards to this? So if people start to see or notice a pattern within themselves, So let's say picking up new projects and never finishing them, going through relationships, maybe romantic relationships, and they all kind of ending the same way, jobs kind of ending the same way or not working out. What kind of ways could people shift when they have those reoccurring themes in their life that are kind of holding them back from making the pivots that they need to make?
So in terms of addressing patterns, I will say, honestly, Kimmy, if you are able to identify the pattern, you are already 10 steps ahead of the game. Usually people come in having noticed a particular issue in the here and now. And some of the work that we do is kind of to examine and really look at the patterns that led up to where they are now. So if you're already at a point where you're knowing that there's a pattern, then, I mean, you already have done like maybe 50, 60% of the work. And so I think the real thing that I would say to listeners is if the universe is conspiring in so many different ways to wake you up to a pattern of behavior, listen, a lot of times people get super defensive about people coming up to them and letting them know that they're concerned or they see a pattern. If people are telling you that, as defensive as you might want to be, I would really invite you to listen. So if you're at a point where you recognize a pattern of behavior, I think it really would be helpful to either journal, to talk to someone you trust, to seek out professional help, to really think about what has laid the groundwork of that pattern. And usually it's some kind of an interpersonal trauma or an emotional thing that happened earlier on in one's life. And they've kind of built this way of operating. And every time something kind of hits that seed that happened so many years ago, their defense is to respond in the same way. And you create opportunities to play it out over and over again. And if you're left to your own devices without really looking at it and being aware of it, you'll play it out the same way over and over again. But if you're able to kind of take a step back, you can work on ways to disrupt that pattern, but to do it authentically. And so one of the things that performance coaching does is it allows you to see the pattern, to make note of it, to do some exploration of how that pattern has developed, and then to find ways to do something different that is responsive to who you are in this moment and who you want to be in the future.
You brought up something really great that I wanted to touch on within your expertise. How would one know if they are a good candidate for coaching or if they are in need for more mental health support, such as through a psychologist or a counselor or a social worker?
Mm-hmm. I've actually been thinking a lot about this and talking to folks about this. And so what I do in my day job is a lot different than what I do when I see folks privately. The difference for me, if you need ongoing talk therapy, then you are addressing issues related to anxiety or depression. And these symptoms or this experience is so debilitating that it makes it difficult for you to engage in daily activities. If you're looking for performance coaching or if you're looking for more focused therapy around certain issues, then you may experience anxiety and depression, but it's not at a point where it's causing an impediment to your day-to-day tasks. And usually the folks that come to me and want to work privately have a specific area in their life, whether it's personal or professional, that they want to gain insight, that they want to unlock so that they can move to the next level. What I do privately is kind of an accelerated version of therapy, whereas what I do during my day job is to walk with people, to talk with them weekly or every other week to address symptoms of depression, anxiety, trauma.
Okay, gotcha.
Et cetera.
Okay, so those are some things that the people can look at to see which route might be the better one for them at that moment, depending on what they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Risha Moxley, please tell us, what is your daily mantra or what's one of your daily mantras?
As of late, I've been thinking a lot about the concept of the wounded healer. And effectively what that means is typically people who are drawn to helping professions have experienced some sort of emotional wound in their past that kind of leads them to want to help people through it. And so I've thought about that and how it applies to me for quite some time. And what I've recognized as of late is that I'm not only a therapist, I'm the therapist president. That's a very bad paraphrase of Biggie. And what I mean by that, though, is not only am I a therapist, I actually seek therapy myself. I think it's been really growth fostering for me. But what I recognize is that, and you've said this before, this work, what I do for other people, what I facilitate for other people, it happens for me too. And so one of the mantras that I've really been thinking about as I think about the concept of the wounded healer, I paraphrase this Audre Lorde quote, and I say, self-care is a revolutionary act. And so when I think about that, when I am at my best, when I attend to my own needs, and when I say my own needs, I mean physical, emotional, spiritual. When I attend to those things, I can be the spark that starts the revolution. Because if I'm clear, if I'm able to be a catalyst for other people's healing, then I could touch someone who could do the same for someone else, who could have these ideas that could change so many different things. And so it's incumbent upon me to actually take care of the vessel. And so for me, that looks different now than it did 20 years ago. And so my self-care practices that have just become a habit, as of late, I've recognized, yo, I need to switch it up because this isn't working the same way that it used to, because I'm at a completely different stage in my life. I'm at a completely different stage of emotional health, of physical health. And so the things that may have just become rote kind of like practices, I now think about as sacred. And so I'm in the process of really examining what the self-care, what is taking care of my vessel really look like at an emotional level, at a spiritual level, at a physical level, and how can I intentionally engage that on a daily basis? So the mantra for me is a paraphrase, and the self-care is a revolutionary act.
That is awesome. And just so insightful on so many different realms. Like you said, we definitely have to be full and able in order to give.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to take care of self first. What's next for you?
Faux show. What's next for me? A good dinner or breakfast or lunch, whenever you're listening to this. what's next for me? Actually, I'm so focused on some inner work right now in terms of self-care that I know whatever comes up next, whatever opportunity I take next, is going to be informed by me being
in alignment.
Yes. So I'm not exactly sure what's next, but I know in the meantime, I'm really getting ready. And that's something I talk with clients about. And I was telling you a little bit about before, if I'm so focused on the future and I work so hard for the future that I never take a moment to be present, when I meet my future self, I won't know who she is. I'll bypass her so fast because I'll be thinking, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? And so right now, I'm really practicing presence and all that that entails and all that means for me. So that's what's next, self-care. So when I said dinner, I wasn't playing. That's self-care.
How can people connect with you or find out more about you, what you're doing professionally?
Well, I can be convinced to blow the dust off my Twitter account. So you can find me on Twitter. You can find me on LinkedIn at the same place. It's going to be Dr. Risha Moxley. You can email me at risha.moxley@gmail.com. And that's where I'm kind of hanging out right now.
Yes. So Risha spelled R-E-I-S-H-A. Moxley spelled M-O-X-L-E-Y. Thank you again, Dr. Risha Moxley, licensed counseling psychologist, performance coach, and mindset mentor to high achievers, first starting with herself.
Indubitably.
Yes. Thank you so much for the tips and your wisdom and expertise. Dr. Moxley, we appreciate you for being a guest on the Early Accountability Podcast.
Thank you, Kimmy. Thank you for the opportunity. And thank you for sharing your platform. I'm loving what you're doing. And I love your energy around it.
Thank you. Until next time.
Bye, y'all.
It was a pleasure to have you join us on this episode of the Early Accountability Podcast with Kimmy Walker. Be sure to visit earlyaccountability.com to sign up for the Early Accountability newsletter. We look forward to activating your greatness and helping you reach your goals.